Good morning. Shall we turn to Genesis chapter 22 as we continue our series covering the book of Genesis? So today I want to share about God shares his plan and feelings with his friend. Genesis chapter 22, let's read. Verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering." Oh, what happened? "Sacrifice him on a burnt offering." I lost it here. Okay. "Sacrifice him. There's a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early in the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he carried out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught up by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called a place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." This is the key verse that we will be focusing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we exalt your name this morning. You are El Elyon, Yahweh, the Lord, the great I am. We exalt you, for you are in charge of all things, and yet you reveal yourself so special to your people. And you choose that because you love us. And you have a great plan for us that we could not even comprehend. But what, Lord, we thank you for giving us your word and demonstrating it to your Son, our Lord Jesus. And this morning, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and tune our ears so that we may understand your very heart, our Heavenly Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 22 is one of the most disturbing passages in the Bible. Yet it is one of the most revealing as well. Because God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, the son he loved. At first glance, it appears harsh. Why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? As we look deeper, we discover something greater. It is not about harshness. It's not about cruelty. It's about revelation. It reveals God as the covenant father who invited his friend into his redemptive heart. And because within the heart is the grief of the father who would give his own son to save us. God, the grieving father, plans for our salvation. And we have learned over the series of sermons regarding Genesis from Genesis 1, the story of salvation does not begin with human obedience. It begins with God's love. And many people think that the Bible begins with rules. It does not. It begins with relationship. In Eden, there was relationship with God. No shame, no fear, no hiding. Then came rebellion against God. Not just disobedience, but distrust. Not just rule breaking, but betrayal. Humanity chose independence over intimacy. And what did God do? He did not withdraw. He came walking into the hiding. He called out, "Where are you?" Judgment was real. But so was mercy. As sin multiplied, humanity turned completely from God, and every inclination of their thoughts and desires was continually evil. And the people God loved has rejected his ways. And yet God did not rush to judge. For centuries, Adam, through Methuselah, he waited. For 969 years before the flood, he warned, he endured, he grieved. Meanwhile, violence spread. Corruption deepened. Rebellion hardened. And still he waited. This was the patience of a father. This was the sorrow of a father. And yet before judgment fell, he gave instructions for an ark. Before wrath comes, provision. Before judgment comes, a way of escape. And this is the pattern of the scripture. God judges sin, but he makes a way to save us. God is not only holy, he is the covenant father. God shows his heart. Covenant shows his commitment. God, the grieving father, plans for our salvation. But also, God, the covenant father, invests in authentic relationships. You know, among all the Old Testament figures, only Abraham is called God's friend. Moses spoke with God as a man speaks to his friend. But Abraham alone carries the title. Why? Because friendship with God is not casual closeness. It is special covenantal relationship. God chose Abraham. God walked with Abraham. God revealed his promise to Abraham. And God even shared his plans with him before judging Sodom and Gomorrah. It is not distant authority. It is relational investment. Friendship with God is forged through faith, shaped over time, tested with uncertainty, proven through obedience. So when Abraham say God was his friend, we must ask ourselves questions. What does that kind of friendship require? How does a sinful man walk with a holy God? What does obedience stop being duty and becomes trust? What does God entrust to a friend that he does not entrust to a servant? And here is the questions that confronts us. Are we content to relate to God only as master, or are we willing to grow into covenant friendship? We must ask, what does covenant friendship truly involve? First, we want to learn from Abraham. How does Abraham relate with God as a covenant friend? If Abraham is called God's friend, then we must ask, what does it really mean to be God's friend? Is it just obedience? Or is it something deeper? Friendship with God begins with faith, and faith deepens intimacy with Him. Abraham's friendship developed because as God revealed his character, Abraham responded in faith. And how does Abraham's faith build up? And I want to share with you the three faith building foundations here as we learn from Abraham. In Abraham's life, faith was built on three foundations. First, knowing who God is. Second, trusting God. And third, experiencing God's mercy. Knowing who God is, understanding God's character and promises, trusting God, obeying Him even when the path was unclear, experiencing God's mercy, seeing His grace and forgiveness and faithfulness in action. So I want to go through with you a little bit more regarding these three areas. Knowing who God is. Before we even arrive at Genesis 22, the testing of Abraham, and we must pause to ask deeper questions. How much does Abraham already know about God? How many years has he walked with God? And from Genesis 12 to Genesis 21 covers roughly 25 years of Abraham's journey of faith with God. And this is not a short spiritual season. This is decades of encounters, failures, and restoration. Friendship is not formed in a moment. It grows through repeated encounters. It deepens through shared history. It's built over time. So when we come to Genesis 22, Abraham is not a spiritual beginner. He's a man shaped by years of walking with God. And so we want to learn from him the foundations of how to build a true friendship with God, a covenant friendship with God. And the first I mentioned is knowing who God is through relational history. Now, friendship with God begins with knowing who God is. You cannot have friendship with a stranger whose character you do not know. If someone is unreliable, you will keep a distance. If someone is truthful and consistent, trust grows. If we misunderstand God, if we see Him only as harsh, distant, and unpredictable, friendship will never happen. Abraham's friendship with God began with revelation, knowing who God through His name. And God's name reveals His character. You know, a person's name is not just a name. God's name is not just a title. It reveals His character. And so, the first God's name is Yahweh the Lord. So Abraham's learned the name of the Lord. In Genesis 12, God revealed His name as Yahweh the Lord. And Abraham realized he did not merely encounter a higher power. He encountered Yahweh. He encountered the Lord, the self-existing one, the great I Am, not dependent on man. He recognized that Yahweh is also the personal God who reveals His name as the Lord. And you see in Genesis chapter 2, the moment man was created, God revealed Himself, not just God, as the Lord. Yahweh the Lord also is the relational God who speaks and appears. And when Abraham realized that, he bowed down in worship because He is the one that's worthy of all praise and worship. Friendship begins when we recognize and realize that God is not just a God, but the Lord. You know, it is one thing to believe Him as God, but it is another to surrender to Him as Lord. And Abraham responded immediately. He built an altar to the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord. Revelation led to surrender in worship. Yahweh, the Lord. And the second name Abraham learned is El Elyon, the Most High God. In Genesis chapter 14, after rescuing Lot, Abraham sees God as El Elyon, the Most High God, who rules over kings, who owns heaven and earth, and who reigns over every power and every situation. King may arise, army may gather, power may be intimidating, but God is above them all. El Elyon, the Most High God. And Abraham also began to know his encounter with the Lord regarding Hagar's encounter. He realized that God is the Elohi, the one who sees me. And we know the story of Hagar. She was a victim because of Abraham's mistakes of not preparing to wait upon God's promises. But then the Lord appeared to Hagar in the wilderness. And Abraham learned that God is the one who sees what others overlook. He cares for the broken. He cares for the mistreated, the forgotten, and the afflicted. Abraham learned that the Most High God is also the most compassionate Father. And Abraham went on in his encounter as he waited upon God regarding the birth of his son, Isaac. He'd been waiting for too long. Yet, after decades of waiting, Abraham saw God's promise fulfilled. Isaac was born. And Abraham declared God El Olam, the everlasting God whose promises are never late, never forgotten, and never limited by time. Friendship begins by knowing who God is. So if we want to get close to God, we need to know who is this God. And we need to get to really know Him by His name. And second foundation is about trust. What has Abraham learned about trusting God before Genesis 22? Friendship is not only first to know about God, friendship is to build on trust. Abraham did not trust blindly. He trusted progressively as God revealed himself. Every name reveals God's character. Every revelation deepens relationship. And every relationship strengthens trust. Trust begins when God no longer is just a concept, but the Lord. Trust grows to share history in storms. Trust is tested in a fire of hardship. Loyalty is revealed in vulnerability. Trust is proven, not in comfort, but in crisis. You know, just like a patient lies on the operating table, he will trust the surgeon because, not because the knife is gentle, but because he trusts the one holding it. Trust is not built on comfort. It is built on confidence in the character of the one holding the knife. And you cannot build trust. You cannot build deep trust without walking through struggle together. So before Genesis 22, what has Abraham already learned about trusting God? There are a few areas here. He trusts God's purpose. Trusting God's purpose. You know, God's blessing is not just about me. That's what Abraham learned. It is always something bigger than my own story. And from his very first encounter, when God blessed Abraham, that all families of earth shall be blessed through you, through Isaac, Abraham learns of God's purpose for the world. His life is part of God's global purpose. God's promise is bigger than him. This is not just about a son. It is about the nations. And when he understands that this journey is bigger than him, everything changes. Trust begins there. My life is part of God's redemptive plan. And when his purpose becomes bigger, his faith grows bigger. The scale of God's promise enlarges the scale of his faith. Trusting God's purpose. And second, trust is trusting God in our weaknesses. That's what Abraham learned. Trust deepens when you discover God understands you completely and still stays committed to you. God saw Abraham's fear and God said, "Do not be afraid." God heard Sarah's hidden laughter. God saw Abraham's failure with Hagar and yet did not abandon the covenant. So in moments of fear, in doubt, and in weakness, God did not withdraw. He stays, he engages, and he remains faithful. And so Abraham learned that God draws near in our weaknesses. So if we are going through rough times, and we are struggling with doubts and fears, and we stumble upon and make mistakes, draw near to God because he is waiting to draw near to us. He doesn't forsake us just because of that. And he was waiting for us to come and draw near to him. And third thing he learned about trust is about God's justice. And when Abraham asked, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Remember, he was having this bargaining with God regarding the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was so bold. He questioned God's justice. Can you imagine? He was questioning God's justice. Whether is it fair? But God waited patiently, listening and answered. He did not brush him aside. He engaged with him, revealing that the judge of all the earth is always righteous, always fair, and never wrong. Abraham's third faith building foundations is experiencing God's mercy. It's not only knowing who God is, not only trusting God, but also experiencing His mercy. Over the years, Abraham does not only learn who God is, but he repeatedly experienced God's mercy. And where do we see it? We saw God's mercy towards Abraham and Sarah. Abraham lied twice, placing Sarah in great danger. Yet God intervened, protected Sarah, warned the two kings, delivered them, Abraham and Sarah, from harm, protected them, and restoring them. Wow, what a great mercy. Then we see His mercy towards Hagar. Hagar became a victim when Abraham failed to wait on God's promise. And through this episode, Abraham saw God. Understanding, see God's mercy towards Hagar. Abraham saw that God is the one who sees her suffering, extending mercy to her, extended promises and compassion in the midst of brokenness. Then we see His mercy towards Lot. Lot made the wrong choice to move into Sodom and Gomorrah, near the place. But even when God, before He sent judgment, Lot lingered and hesitated to leave. God sent angels to rescue him, physically pulling him out, and save him by mercy before judgment came. Experiencing God's mercy. So are we knowing a God who just in our head, or do we experience His mercy? And when God extended us mercy, are we able to recognize it and give thanks to Him, even in the daily chores of events? The three foundations of knowing God through Abraham. Knowing God's name, who He is, and building trust, and also experiencing His mercy. And the second question is, why does God share His plan and feeling with His friends? The first question earlier on is, how does Abraham relate to God as a covenant friend? Now I want to move on. Why? Why does God share His plan and feeling with His friends? You know, Abraham did not remain just another follower of God. Over the years of walking with God, his faith matured. Yes, he stumbled. He made mistakes. He failed. But he kept walking. His faith did not remain static. He kept trusting even in trials. He did not merely believe in God. He walked with God. And over time, he became God's friend. And God delighted to walk with him. And we can see that in Genesis chapter 18, God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" It's regarding the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. The question is, why would a sovereign God share His plans and decision with Abraham? Why would an almighty God allow Abraham to negotiate, to have a say regarding the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah? God does not need Abraham's approval. He does not need Abraham's advice. He's not obligated to explain himself. Yet God revealed his judgment plans to Abraham. Why? Because Abraham is God's friend. Friendship with God includes revelation. God invites Abraham into his purpose. So by the time we reach Genesis chapter 22, friendship has matured. 25 years of walking, 25 years of waiting, 25 years of testing. This is not beginner faith. This is proven friendship. He trusted God. Like a tree planted over many years, and the deeper the roots grow, the stronger it stands against the storm. And now, God entrusts Abraham with the depth of his heart. And now, he wants to share the pain and the purpose. So by the time we reach Genesis 22, God is going to open up his heart to share the deepest within him. You know, some relationships are built on convenience. We are close because we are nearby. Or we share the same interests. Or we belong to the same circus. But this is not true friendship. Classmates drift apart. Neighbors move out. Gym partners meet only during workouts. True friendship is tested in vulnerability. True friendship speaks honestly and shares what is hidden. We don't share our deepest burden with everyone, only with those we trust. And deep burdens are not shared with casual followers, but covenant friends. So by Genesis 22, Abraham trusted God beyond what he understands. God is no longer treating Abraham merely as a servant receiving instructions. God invited him into his heart, into his deepest burden, into something personal, deeply personal. And we all know that deepest burdens are only shared with those closest to us. So God was not merely giving Abraham a command. And when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac, it was not simply a test of obedience. It was revelation. God was revealing his struggle, the weight of the decision, the weight of love, the cost of sacrifice, that one day he will have to give his son for our sin. Abraham was given a glimpse of God's redemptive plan. This is covenant intimacy. To Abraham and Isaac, we see a shadow, a preview of the father's heart. And the father was wrestling with the cost of giving his only son, Jesus Christ, for our redemption. And so Genesis 22 is not only about Abraham's obedience. It is not simply about proven faith. It is about God unveiling the depth of his heart. It is about God entrusting his friend with his deepest burden. And this is the climax of true friendship. So why does God share his plans and feelings with his friend? He wants to reveal the father's heart in the suffering of his son. And God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. That was not a random command. This was not a cruel demand. This was the climax of friendship. This was more than a test. It was trust. This was not merely God testing Abraham. It was God trusting his friend. God was not demanding pain. He was sharing it. This was not punishment. This was friendship at its deepest level. The deepest grief of the heart cannot be explained with words. It must be experienced and it must be felt. Only a close, intimate friend is invited into that space. And notice something when we read Genesis 22. In the entire of Genesis 22 account, there is not a single word describing emotion. No tears, no trembling, no records of anguish, or even the description of pain. And yet, this is one of the most drastic commands ever given. Why no emotion? All of us, if you read this, it ignites plenty of emotions. But why not? Because the grief is beyond vocabulary. The pain is too deep for description. When sorrow reaches its deepest point, words fail. Silence speaks louder than words. Your son, your only son, whom you love. Each phrase cuts deeper. Your son is very personal. Your son. This is not a possession. It is your own flesh and blood. Your son. And not there. Your only son. It is irreplaceable. There's no substitute. No backup. No second option. Whom you love, you deeply cherished. This is the treasure of your heart, the one you delight in the most. Isaac was Abraham's joy in the old age. Isaac was his miracle, his future, his everything. And clearly, this points beyond Abraham. It was not about Abraham and Isaac. God was revealing his own heart. One day, he will sacrifice his only son, Jesus Christ, deeply loved for our redemption. Abraham felt the knife in his heart for a moment. God the Father will feel it fully. In Abraham, we see this truth. True friendship with God means sharing not only his blessings, but also his burden. And Abraham responded immediately. Early in the morning, we can see he departed and took the wood of the burnt offerings and left. Why so early in the morning? And perhaps Abraham couldn't sleep the previous night. But I guess he was carrying a burden beyond himself that he could not even share with his wife, Sarah, the closest person. The silence he has to bear was heavy. Yet early in the morning reveals decisive obedience. He did not delay, even though his heart must have been torn. Abraham did not know how this would end. Yet he moved forward in faith, trusting that God's heart is good, even when his command is hard. And so we see, they continue walking. And when Abraham laid the wood on Isaac, the scene became prophetic. Isaac carrying the very wood on which he was to be offered. Step by step, the beloved son bore the instrument of his own sacrifice. Imagine a father watching his beloved son, carrying the very instrument that could end his life, step by step. Every step heavier than the last. This was not mere symbolism. God was staging a living portrait of his own sorrow, and he himself one day will endure. And we see in John 8:56, the Lord Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my days. He saw it and was glad." Jesus himself revealed a little bit more regarding the scenario. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it was glad. What day? You know, Abraham was given more than a test. He was given a revelation as Abraham watched Isaac climb Mount Moriah with wood on his back. He saw beyond his son to another son, Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus Christ carrying the cross on that very region 2,000 years later. In that moment, he caught a glimpse of the Father's heart. In that moment, the silent agony of watching his son was painful. Watching his son moving toward the sacrifice. Through Abraham's anguish, we see the cost God himself will bear. And the love that chooses sacrifice. When Abraham felt in part, the Father experienced fully. And then they continue to move to Moriah. And God told Abraham, "Go to Moriah." He was sending Abraham to the place where something would be revealed. Moriah means to see, to have vision, or to be shown. On the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. God will provide the lamb. Literally, it shall be seen. Moriah was not just a location. It was a revelation. Abraham saw more than a ram in the thicket. It was as if God allowed Abraham to look through a small keyhole into the future of God's redemptive plan. He did not see everything, but he saw enough to trust, pointing to the greater sacrifice of God's only son at Calvary. God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac so that Christ will be revealed to Abraham and also to all of us. So why does God share his plan and feeling with his friend? To reveal the Father's heart in the suffering of his son. But then there's a second one. Is to partner with God as a covenant friend. Not just revealing the Father's heart, but to partner with God as a covenant friend. God shares his heart and his plan so that his friends respond not passively, but actively. You know, friendship with God does not stop at intimacy. It moves to responsibility. A friend may understand God's heart, but a covenant friend carries God's heart. God invited his covenant friend Abraham into partnership, commissioning him into his purpose. Now, to be God's partner is no ordinary privilege. It is given to covenant friend who walk in trust and obedience. Covenant friendship is not just receiving God's promises, it is joining God's mission. Abraham was blessed so that he can become a blessing. And through him, God's promises will reach the nations. Partnering with God is never passive. Partnering with God requires faith that responds. It is never passive. Faith moves from belief into action. He rose early. Abraham's faith is revealed that he rose early. He walked the mountain. He trusted God without knowing the outcomes. And we see partnership lived out. And God did not treat Abraham like a servant. who executes a command, he invited Abraham into his grief and burden. And after the test, God declared, "Now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And the word "know" here is in the Hebrew word yada. It speaks of relational knowing. It speaks of covenant intimacy. It is not about gaining information. It is not about knowing that Abraham, whether he would sacrifice or not. It's not about that, because God already knows. He's all-knowing. So the word yada is a relational word. It's relational knowing. And it's the same word used in Genesis 2 when God says that Adam knew Eve and Eve conceived. So the word knew and know is a very intimate word. It's between husband and wife. It's about relational. It's not gaining knowledge. So in this case, we recognize that God did not gain information, but the relationship was expressed and proven through trust. Faith was demonstrated. Obedience became relational, not mechanical, because relationship was expressed. And Jesus said in John 15, 13 to 15, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I do not call you servants, for I have called you friends. I have made known to you." Servants receive instructions. Friends receive insight. A servant obeys because he's told. A friend obeys because he understands the heart behind the command. Revelation is not mere information. Revelation is an invitation into covenant partnership. God commands not to demand blind obedience, but to draw his friend further and deeper into trust. You know that sin has distorted how we see God. And when we read Genesis 22, sometimes we often say, we assume God is always testing us to make us fall, to make us fail. Look, he gave us such a great, difficult command. How to make it? And we assume God is distant. God is demanding. He takes what we treasure. And so we ask, is God cruel? Is he heartless? Is he a joy killer, giving something precious only to take away? Does he demand unreasonable sacrifice? Is he like pagan gods who demand child sacrifice? But at a decisive moment, in this story, Abraham's encounter with God, God stopped the knife. At the decisive moment, God stopped the knife. God provided the ram. God restored the son. Genesis 22 has to correct our false picture, our wrong idea about God. He's not cruel. He stopped the knife. He's not heartless. He provided the ram. He's not a joy killer. He returned Isaac alive and restored Abraham's joy. He's not like a pagan god demanding child sacrifice. He never took Abraham's son. In fact, the truth is opposite. The true God treasures human life so deeply that he would later sacrifice his own son to save it. God is not distant from suffering and pain. He enters it. He shared a heart, his heart with Abraham, so that Abraham would glimpse the cost himself, God himself would bear, and proving that he understands our pain. So Genesis 22 is not just about testing, it's about covenant relationship. It's not about Abraham proving himself, it's about God proving his heart and inviting trust in his character. Abraham did not have to give his son. But one day, God would give his. The father who stopped Abraham's hand did not spare his own son. And Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he also not along with him graciously give us all things? Genesis 22 is never about a harsh God demanding sacrifice. It is about a loving father revealing the cost he himself will one day pay. So partner with God as a covenant friend. Partnering with God as a covenant friend requires active trust also. Abraham obeys and surrenders in hope, trusting God. In fact, he said this, stay here. I and the boy will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. You know, Abraham obeyed, but he obeyed in faith. He obeyed in hope. On the third day, Abraham said, we will come back. Why? Isn't it Isaac already offered sacrifices? Why we will come back? It should be only one person coming back, Abraham himself. But he's saying that Isaac is coming back with him. Why? You see, a servant may obey outwardly, but a covenant friend surrenders inwardly in trust and hope. So on the altar, Abraham laid down everything. He laid down his promise. He laid down his future. He laid down his son that he loved. Yet before the sacrifice happened, he spoke in faith. We will worship and we will come back. He expected God to act. And when Abraham reached Mount Moriah, he built an altar. That was worship. This was a visible expression of trust and inward surrender. This is covenant partnership. Obedience that trust, surrender that believes. And when Isaac asked, where is the lamb? Abraham replied, God will provide. This was not just optimism. It was covenant confidence. Abraham did not know how, but he knew who. And why could Abraham say, we will come back? Because God had already promised that the covenant will establish through Isaac. So he believed that even Isaac dies, God must raise him up. Abraham believed in resurrection because he trusted in God's promises. Abraham spoke resurrection before resurrection was revealed. Now, you know, before we close, Genesis 22 is often reduced to one word, testing. But if we stop there, we misunderstand God. Genesis 22 was not about a demanding God. It's about a loving father revealing the cost. And you know what? Friendship, obedience, and revelation all meet at the cross. When Abraham laid his son on the altar, the father laid his son on the cross. Abraham felt the knife stop. The father did not stop the knife for his own son. He did not spare him. And when Abraham experienced in shadow, God fulfilled in reality. Moriah pointed forward to Calvary. The ram in the thicket was temporary, but the Lamb of God was eternal. You know, this morning, God called us to trust Him. Because the God who calls us to trust has already proven Himself. He is not asking for blind obedience. He's inviting covenant friendship built on the love proven at the cross. So we need to ponder over these questions here. Will we live as His covenant friends? Will you live as His covenant friends? Will you trust Him when His ways are unclear? Will you obey when surrender is costly? This is partnership with God. Because the greatest love was given at the greatest cost through the deepest pain so that we would never be separated from Him eternally. Can we rise? Let's ponder, quieten our hearts as we ponder over the word this morning. This morning we just had Holy Communion. It revealed the cost that the Son paid. But today, the Word of God is sharing with us the struggles, the pain that the Father felt as He offered His Son on the cross. And as we come to the cross this morning, what kind of God do you have? Is it in your mind? Is He a cruel, harsh, unreasonable, unpredictable God? Or is He the one who is so loving, giving, all out, and treasure you so much? Do you see Him as a God who always tests you and catch you when you fail and knock you when you stumble? Or do you see Him as the God who knows how you feel? The God who sees your struggles. The God who revealed Himself like He revealed to Hagar, El Rohi. Today I want to invite you to draw near to Him. You may be feeling a struggle in your life right now. Pain, rejected, or even crisis. And you could not understand. But the Lord this morning asks you to come and draw near to Him because He wants to draw near to you. And today, the Lord also wants to open our hearts to invite you to not just be a servant, but to be a covenant friend who is able to understand the heart of the Father, who is able to identify with His pain and struggles, who is able to appreciate when He offered His Son, our Lord Jesus, on the cross for us. He wants to invite you as a covenant partner to be able to see your life bigger than yourself. He bless you so that you can be a blessing. That you'll be able to embrace His purpose beyond yourself. So today, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, just respond to Him right now, just for 30 seconds. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word of revealing Yourself so much in Genesis 22. Thank you for removing all those wrong understanding about you. Today, Holy Spirit, give us the boldness to draw near to you, because you are good, you are loving, you are merciful, you are El Elyon, you are El Olam, you are El Rohi. Teach us how to walk with you like Abraham, just like you enjoy walking with him. And we pray that you enjoy walking with us in the journey of faith. So Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your joy, strength, wisdom of walking with you to enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.